You guys are going to see a short sermon today because we're in mass. You'll find out it's much easier to fall asleep. So I brought things to throw at you in lieu of you throwing things at me, like usual. And but there's a more, I was supposed to let Mr. White get up and say, "Welcome to Skyview Baptist Church," and do our normal thing. But there's a problem. We have a very important announcement. Abby has a birthday. Abby Gottschalk has a birthday there. Yeah, I know. I know this takes precedent over everything else. How old is she now? I'm hearing myself talk in the background. I got to turn myself down because I see who's watching live. Yeah, I know. Would you shut up? Okay. There we go. Now, how old? 12. Look at that. You don't look a day over 11 in 364 days. All right. So now we have another problem. Is we've had a couple birthdays since people have been gone for, you know, because of the COVID thing. We've been out of church, and we haven't been able to sing happy birthday. So who has had a birthday in the last? Jeff's got one on the 19th. Where's Jeff? Jeff's right there. Jeff's got a birthday on the 19th. That's awesome. He goes, woonk. Okay, the other Jeff, yes. March 31st. You got a birthday then. That's one. That's Jeff Dixon. The other, yes. Today's Becca Roach's birthday? That's awesome. Why were you frowning when you said that? Like, no, we can't tell. We can't tell. I can't tell if you guys are happy or sad or what you are. You all just got that look like we're going to rob the bank. So that's awesome. All right. Anybody else have a birthday? Yes. Huh? Oh, Caden. Caden. I thought you said caveman. My hearing wasn't working. So caveman had a birthday. Caden had a birthday. That's awesome. Anybody else have a birthday during the – yes. April 9th. That's awesome. All right, Jeff, Doug. Yes, anybody else have a birthday? Double check. We're going to sing happy birthday. That's how we're going to start the service. And I want everybody to sing with me, and we'll see what the happy birthday muffled mask sounds like, okay? Why don't you sing it with me? Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Job. Happy birthday to you. Give him a big hand. All right. Would you start the service? What do you think?
Okay, let's get started with some singing. We're going to sing Stand Up for Jesus, 455. And do we stand?
Just make it up, man. We're just making it
up.
Yeah,
let's stand. Stand Up for Jesus, first, second, and last verse. First, second, and last verse. Let's do it from that first verse there.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he
Higher Ground, 78, first, second, and last verse.
I'm passing
so much. Keep 6 feet away from me, please. All right, then a couple quick things. First off, did you hear her playing that piano? Yeah, I mean, that was... The first song was just kind of normal. The fingers got warmed up, and all of a sudden, she was all over that thing. We're going to have to get that piano fixed. I mean, that's great. It's good to have you back. Good to have everyone here. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, you can find out if your husband's in church. He said that he wanted to know if he had to wear masks and gloves in order to watch the service online. And I said, it's always good for Gary to have to wear a mask. And so I don't know if he's on here. So, somebody text Gary, find out if he's in church, and tell him the whole church is going to find out. And he's in South Carolina with his son. What's that? Oh. I gotta bring that down. Okay, yeah, he's in South Carolina with his son, and so who's gonna text him for me? I'm looking for a hand raised. Nobody's gonna text Gary, and there you go. Mr. Myers is gonna text him. We'll get a response from him. Maybe get a picture to prove that he's in church. We'll make sure. I cannot tell you how good it is to see everybody here. I have missed everybody so much. It's even good to see the deacons here, and that's wonderful. Let me give you a couple quick announcements to let you know what's going on. One, the service is going to be shorter. Main reason, honestly, is because the restrooms are closed. Now, if you do have an emergency, we can make an exception, and we just have to sanitize afterwards. It is a big deal, but please don't just torture yourself. I mean, we understand that the human body is a frail thing, and sometimes you have to take care of some things, and so we understand that. But we're trying to keep the restrooms closed, and I'll explain why in a second, but we're asking all attendees not to stay on premises to fellowship at the end of the service. What a weird thing to say at church. Please don't fellowship at church, you know. Now, several have asked me this. Give us Barabbas! Yeah, I know it's coming, but several people have asked this, you know, can we meet off premises? Hey, what you do off premises is your own business. Just tell me where you're meeting and if there's food, you know, and I'll be there. We're trying to do things right, very specifically. We're working very hard to do things as safely as possible in light of where we're at in America right now with the COVID virus. And one of the reasons we're being so strict, and as strict as could be, I mean, I don't know anybody else that's making you wear gloves. You have to wear gloves. I mean, my wife almost said, I'm not coming to church. She had to wear gloves the whole time. And but as we do things right, that means that, and we're successful at doing things right, we can look at doing more ministry and trying the next thing right. If we spend all our time fighting just to try to do the first thing right and keep people social distancing and follow the rules and keep people safe, then we can't go to the next step. We want to minister as much as we can, but we're not going to put people at any undue risk at all. And we're trying to be completely the place where everybody who comes here needs to be loved and cared for. I said this before, our money... is in a safe, locked up, where it's protected. It'd be a shame if we protected our money more than we did our people. That's a church that has the wrong priorities. So we're trying to protect our people. If you're not high risk, you're kind of like, well, why am I wearing this thing? I don't care if I get, you know, COVID. Or some people are high risk and still don't care if they get it. But we want people to be able to come to church and not have to worry that someone's going to be cavalier, someone's going to say, I don't care. You hear the stories about the person who's in the store who's coughing and hacking and sneezing on everybody and wiping their nose and touching the counter. And you all know that's me, but I want people to be able to come to church, be safe, and know that we're going to do things the right way. And as we do it the right way, we can look at doing more ministry. Speaking of ministry, we've had the opportunity to help over 30 missionaries and pastors so far. There's a lot of need right now, and the Lord's put us in a position to help, and I appreciate your giving so much. You don't get to see the faces, and one of these days, I'd like that Mr. Myers, maybe we could post some of the thank yous that they send. There are some pastors in the Philippines who are not just are they eating because we sent some money, but they're feeding people. But you understand, people are coming to the pastor's doors and saying, we have nothing, and it's kind of tough as a pastor when you have nothing. And to be able to help them means a lot. So, is that Rebecca Roach? Is it her birthday? Should we sing one more quick time for Rebecca because she missed it? Who thinks we should sing one more time for Rebecca? Okay. All right, Rebecca. So since you're late, we're going to stop and sing one more time just for you. Are you ready? All right, sing with me. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Turns red through the mask. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Give her a hand. I should say sorry for that, but I'm not. It was good to have you back. This evening service is supposed to rain and pour. And the only way that you can make it not rain and pour is to cancel the parking lot service. The sun will come out. You'll get a sunburn if we cancel it. But unfortunately, we don't have the electronics, anything to cover our electronics. It'll destroy our electronics if we have a parking lot service. So we're going to go ahead and just do live streaming for this evening service. And so we're not going to do the parking lot service for this evening. But we will have some more. That was a lot of fun, and it allows some of the folks who can't come into the main service to be able to come and be in their cars and listen on the radio and see everybody and apparently call everybody on the phone while I'm preaching. And you guys still find a way to talk to each other during the service while you're in the car. That's amazing, but I appreciate that so much. And so you drive in, and then at the tithing plates are out front if you'd like to leave your tithe in there. And did you find out if Gary was there? Oh, here we go. Hold on a second. I got to double check, and we'll just do this. I'm not used to playing with my phone during the service. I usually preach it against people that do that. So, let's see. Remind the folks the church is not. Oh, yeah, the church building is not open tonight. So we're not going to have this kind of service tonight. Just live stream service. I guess I should have said that before people showed up. And so I want to make sure you know that. Did you find out if Gary's listening? We're going to get him. Huh? His wife isn't going to lie for him. We'll throw him under the bus, buddy. Oh, that's awesome. I think that's it for us. Oh, yes. And I mentioned that the reason we're doing this, we're being extra strict. Thank you. I want to say thank you. And I mean that because everybody just jumped and said, okay, we're getting in line. We'll do it. You know, we're not going to say how ridiculous it is. The only person who ever mocked the system is the guy who's helping, old Doug back there. And he's like, I'm the man. He was laughing at me because I'm trying to keep 6 feet. Brother Myers was talking to me. He'd move, and I was jumping, and I was moving and dancing all around. He was having a lot of fun with that. But afterwards, our cleaning crew will when we dismiss, the ushers will dismiss row by row. You'll follow the ushers out. They'll ask you to go to the cars in the parking lot, and we're asking not to congregate in the parking lot. It's very important we do this the right way. And but once you leave premises, that's fine. Go across the street and yell at us, whatever it is. But honestly, it's very important we do it the right way, so we can do more. Once we got this covered, we can say, well, maybe we can open this part, or maybe we can do this and figure out how to do it the right way. So it's important. I'm thrilled to have everybody here, and I think that's it for announcements. So we've got a special, and then preaching, and the preaching is supposed to be shorter. So Mr. Myers, you have a job. If I start drawing on, you know, get that down and all that, and then I'll preach against you. And then, all right, I appreciate that. Why don't you do our special, Rachel? just trying to remember, Rachel, how long did it take me to teach you how to play piano like that? That was long, hard work, but she finally learned, and praise the Lord. I can't even play a radio ready at a piano. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. I'll be honest with you, I'm tempted to preach long because it's so good to see everybody. I don't want everybody to go. It's been too long, and so glad to have everybody here. Fun to watch everybody trying to talk to each other through the masks. That's always very interesting, and I appreciate you again working so hard. 2 Kings chapter 12, we're going to read it for text verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to try to be careful on the time. It's 11:20 right now. I'm getting up much earlier, and I'm trying to get you out in a very reasonable amount of time, and so let's see if I got that. Amen. I'm trying to find, I text Gary to see if he's listening, and he didn't text back. So yeah, folks, we may have to go get Gary and bring him back here. And the tickets are cheap right now. 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. In 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the lesson for today. Heavenly Father, we ask in this short time, oh God, that you would bless. God, you've blessed us just to give us church, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you week by week that you've given us church, but today it's a special thank you. You've shown us how precious this substance called church is, and Lord, we value it even more. And we ask, Lord, that you meet with us. Church is useless unless you do a work in our hearts. And we ask you to take your word and bring life to it. Change us. Make us more like your Son. Convict us that we make changes that make us pleasing to you. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Jehoash, or Joash, as the Bible calls him, and in 2 Kings it spells it Jehoash, and in Chronicles it spells it Joash. Same person if you do research in the Bible. There's lessons that we can learn from Joash. When I was a kid growing up, even a young teenager in that frame, if you were to ask me, are you a Christian? I would have said, well, yeah. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, you know. And my grandma, I saw Christianity from my grandmother. My great-grandmother and my grandmother both were just godly people. And so I had a connection. I knew she prayed for me. In fact, she was the one I told you the story because I kind of grew up, you know, I say a rough home. It's probably an average home. But me and my brothers fought a lot. And they were a lot older than me. And I was the youngest of five. And so my oldest brother's about 5.5 years older than me. And when I would get angry, I was like a Tasmanian devil. I would just freak out on them, and I'd bite them and scratch them. And I was a survivor. And when they were winning the fight, I would run into the kitchen, and a butcher knife would help me get the upper hand. And until my dad found out. When my dad found out, I didn't want to touch a butter knife for a month. But I give you a story of what my grandma was like and what my life was like. We were one time, she had walnut trees. Is anybody, if you've ever had to pick up walnuts from the ground, would you raise your hand? Okay, you're the only ones that will understand this. The rest of you look at me like, that's weird. Because you see walnuts, you see these shelled nuts in the store. Walnuts are black, gooey, icky things. I mean, like, just gooey and tarry and icky. And not only that, but you pick them up during the fall when it's cold and rainy. So you go out there with your kind of plastic gloves and you reach under the leaves and you start grabbing all the gooey stuff and you put it in these bags and they have a whole process they go through. We're picking up walnuts. Well, like any older brother, my older brother wanted to make sure that it was a fun time. So he grabbed a handful of that black gooey gunky stuff and grabbed me from behind and smeared it all over my face just to show this is Christian love. And so I wanted to requite my brother with more love, and I freaked out and chased after him. Well, he wasn't scared of me, you know, but he was running. That was part of the fun for him. I was not having fun. And finally, he stopped, and I got a hold of him, and it wasn't that he couldn't beat me up, but like when he would punch me, I would grab his hand and bite his hand. I was maybe 8-9 years old. I'd climb him and bite him and scratch him. So he was going to get hurt. Even if he had to hurt his fist on my face, he was going to get hurt. I was angry. And I was doing my normal freak out. This was normal for us. That was just our routine. But not for Grandma Lorraine. I will never, never forget. You know, I came from a home where my dad disciplined. If you were standing in the corner, you weren't in timeout, you couldn't sit down. Right? So that's what I was used to. I'll never forget my grandma Lorraine. She was so holy. I never forget when she was like, "Oh, boys, boys," and she almost cried. To make my grandma almost cry, we've just stopped in our tracks. What? She goes, "God is so unhappy with that." I was trying to get my brother to meet God that day. I wasn't really concerned. I figured I could ask for forgiveness later. I was like, "What do you do with that?" Then the next thing she did, I will never forget. She made the whole family, all five of us, get in a circle and hold hands and pray. I had to hold my brother's hand. Of course, you know, we were squeezing each other's hands as tight as we could, trying to. She says, "Now tell God you forgive him." Well, you want to talk about a quandary? I didn't want to forgive him, and I didn't want to lie to God. You can't lie to God. And I actually started crying. It's like my grandma was praying, "Oh, God, I know you're not pleased. Oh, God." I felt so low I couldn't pole vault under a pregnant aunt. I mean, I was, you felt horrible. But, "Oh, God, I'm sorry. Forgive him. Even I want to kill him." You know, and that's why my grandma was like that. She was the closest thing to holy and Christian I knew. So when I thought of Christianity, I thought of my grandma. And she would get us to go to church sometimes, and she would ask us if we went to church. And sometimes we just go to church. Me and my brother, or Brother Gabriel and I, went to the church down the road, Oregon City Nazarene Church. And he was maybe 8 or 9, and I was 7 or 8. And we went in. They said, "Where's your parents?" We were like, "I don't know." Like, "No, I mean, where are your parents?" We just went over Sunday school is. Like, "Are your parents in the auditorium?" "Sure." "Okay. We're Sunday school." We went to Sunday school. We played Escape from Alcatraz that day. We just saw the movie Alcatraz, and so we escaped from Sunday school. We thought they were chasing us down the street to bring us back. We ran for our lives, but what we were doing was we were modeling. We were trying to figure out Christianity, and we thought we were Christians because that's what Grandma was, and that's what we were supposed to be. I did some Christian things. I did some nice things. I was the bad kid your parents wouldn't let you hang around. I'm not trying to pretend I was something that I wasn't. But I also did some Christian things. I did go to church on occasion, and I did try to be a good enough person. The bad stuff I did was like throwing eggs at cars. You know, I wasn't pushing old people in wheelchairs down the hills and laughing and things like that. And who even thought of that idea? Why would I think that's funny? I'm a sick man. All right, but understand this then. Joash was what we would call a second-generation Christian. I want to tell you quickly the story of Joash. I want to have you turn to three different passages of Scripture and then do some quick lessons from Joash. First, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 11. You were in 2 Kings chapter 12. I want you to 2 Kings chapter 11. I want to tell you the story that led up to Joash being king. There was a queen in Israel, and her son's name was Ahaziah. And we'll read from 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says this: "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, the sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years." Just a funny thought for you. The one place they knew Athaliah wouldn't go was church, the house of the Lord. Then it goes on to say, "And Athaliah did reign over the land. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers of over hundreds with the captains and the guards and brought them to him unto the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and shewed them the king's son." So now what's happened is Jehoiada the priest took in Joash, and he kept Joash safe until he was 7 years old. And when he was 7 years old, he went to the people he thought he could trust, the guards and so on and so forth, he thought he could trust. He brought them and took an oath of them that they would support the king, and then revealed him. And now Joash is the rightful king at age 7. And so now He revealed that he was king, and then they killed the queen, and they made him king, and he began to rule in the land. Now Joash was being advised by Jehoiada the priest. Stay with me. Joash is being advised by Jehoiada the priest. Well, you see, it says something amazing about him. In 2 Kings 12:1, our text verse, it says, "In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. In 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him." So for many years, Jehoiada would be an example and talk to Joash and tell him what decisions he should make. He would listen to Jehoiada, and he was making the right decisions. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord for many, many years. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. While you turn, I'm going to get a quick drink of water. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 15 through 22. The Bible says this, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of the days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them, to bring them again to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king, remembered not the kindness of Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son, and when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. So, now what you find is this. Joash, who was saved by Jehoiada, was put into kingship by Jehoiada the priest, was advised by Jehoiada, and not only that, but he ruled and reigned successfully, pleasing God, as long as Jehoiada gave him counsel. When Jehoiada died, a group of people came from Judah, the neighboring country. They were honoring the king at the death of Jehoiada, and they began to talk to him about having some fun in life and doing things different. And the high places would be kind of what we would call the bars or the hangout places. When you worship their gods, you got to pick how you worshiped your god. You know, if I had to worship a god, I'd worship the hunting and fishing god. And every time I go fishing, that would be worship. Worship the I'm thinking of the dune buggy you're making. I'd worship the dune buggy god and be out there on the dunes, jumping the dunes at night. And I would find a way to, and that's what the high places were, was you could make gods and worship them the way you like to worship them. And so it was tempting. And Joash immediately turned on God, turned away from everything he had been doing, and worshiped other gods. Did what his flesh wanted to do. It got so bad, he turned so far away from God, that when Jehoiada's son, the priest in line, preached against doing the bad things that Joash was now doing, Joash had him killed. Jehoiada's son, the one who saved his life, his son, he had him killed. How did he get from a king who reigned and did right in the sight of the Lord to getting so far away from God that he had Jehoiada's son killed? There's several quick observations I want to give you. And I just got a few more minutes. You guys are doing good so far. And I know the masks make it harder to breathe, and you're breathing your own carbon dioxide. I appreciate that so much. But let me give you a couple quick things. Jehoiada did not teach Joash to have his own relationship with God. You know, when I was younger and my grandma was my example, Do you understand that I thought I was a Christian because everybody I knew was Christians and they told me I was a Christian? Do you know that if I had died and you had asked me if I was a Christian knowing the Bible now, I would have died and went to hell. I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe that God was real, but I'd never put my faith in Jesus Christ. It was never my own. It was my grandma's Christianity. But if you asked me, I would have said I was a Christian. If you were a preacher, I would have been nice to you. If I went to church, I would have been mostly respectable. I had a time where I wasn't respectable in church. And my wife's old youth director found out that she was going to marry me. And he knew me during the time I wasn't respectable in church. And he wouldn't attend the wedding. That's not a nice thing to say, but I was a little bit of trouble. But I thought I knew God. Now, Jehoiada did not teach Joash to have his own relationship with God. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign on thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. You know, you're supposed to be teaching all the time. This Christianity thing, it's something you pass on to the next generation. There is no such thing as a second generation Christian. Everybody has to decide for themselves. You are no more a Christian because you were born in a Christian home than you are a car because you're born in a garage. It doesn't make you a Christian. You have to decide for yourself that this is mine. And it says you're supposed to give your kids, you're supposed to teach your kids, teach them when my kids and I are in the car often. The worst part is this, when your kids learn. Parents, you ever have this happen? I preach about trying, you don't speed. It's against the law. The Bible says keep the law of your land. And then I hear Roman's voice back there. Dad, speed limit's 50. Uh-huh. What's your speedometer say? It says 50, Roman. You little rotten kid, you want to walk? You know. How did I know he was going to be awake while I was preaching? You know? Do you know what? But there's something he's got to know, that there's a Christianity that's real. When the church members aren't looking, that there's something that's really there. He's got to see and hear and learn Christianity for himself. He's got to read the Bible and know the Word of God is true for himself. And so you model and teach Christianity with your kids. So Jehoiada did not teach Joash his own relationship with God. Second thing we learned, there's only three things, I'm going quick. Joash did not seek his own relationship with God. You know, in Romans 14:12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So if you're under 25 in here, listen real quick. You will not stand in front of God and say, well, my parents didn't teach me right. I was on a bus with a guy one time, and he was being a MAX train. And we were actually going to be preaching on the MAX train. I was bringing some teenagers with me, and they wanted to try that, so I was taking them to preach on the MAX train. Unbelievably good reception, by the way. I could not believe how people were so excited that we did that. I kind of thought things were going to get thrown at us. We had escape plans and everything else. But I was on the MAX train, and a young guy was just being super foul. And there was a lady there, and you could tell she was really offended. I said, hey, buddy, I'm not trying to be mean. I said, it's been offensive to the lady. You know, could you control your language? And honestly, I'm not trying to be mean. It'd just be polite. I had the same problem when I was younger. He said, man, you don't understand. I was raised in the hood. In the hood. In Oregon. If you've ever been to the hood in Chicago or New York or places that when they say, I was raised in the hood in Oregon, you have no idea what a joke that is. You have no clue. There's nothing in Oregon that's the hood. You won't be, man, you won't be, my block was so bad. Man, they threw eggs at people. I mean, okay, yeah, the hood. But the thing was, is he said, you know, well, I have no choice because the environment I grew up in. God says that's not true. God says there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So what's all that saying? That's saying that it doesn't matter who your mommy was. It doesn't matter who your daddy was, and it doesn't matter where you were raised, you can serve God. There's no excuses. You're not going to stand in front of God one day and say, you don't understand, my pastor was only 5'8". I wanted a taller pastor. I'm 5'8½", by the way, just an illustration of it. But you don't understand, my mommy was mean to me, and my daddy was mean to me, and they didn't. I was raised in a single-parent home or a multi-parent home. All these things you're going to say to God. You get me? You'll give an account of yourself to God. There comes a point where this Christianity has to be your own. And let me warn you. Let me warn you. In fact, I think it's forcing me to the second point, or the last point. I'll go to the last point, and I'll warn you with this. Joash changed as... He was doing fine because he didn't see his need for God. Let me tell you one of the most dangerous places you'll be. Ready? In church, dressed right, talking right, serving God. Why is that dangerous? Because when you're there, often you don't look at the need that you actually have. You think, well, I look right, and I act right, and people tell me I'm right, and everybody in church likes me, I must be close to God. You can look right, act right, talk right, and everybody can like you. That does not mean you are close to God. It's a very, very dangerous place. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to have to summarize here quick, so turn with me quick. Revelation chapter 3. While you're turning to Revelation chapter 3, I'll tell you a real quick story. When I was in Bible college. When you're in Bible college, you have chapel every day, so you have preaching literally every single day. Then you have classes, and they teach Bible classes, so you'll hear more preaching and teaching of the Bible. You have mandatory ministry. You if you're going to be in the Bible college I went to, if you were going to be in Bible college, you had to be part of a ministry, you had to be sharing your faith, and you had to be discipling somebody. It's mandatory ministry. You went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can get a pass for Wednesday nights if you're working. You had to be in church. And this is all mandatory. And what happened was I didn't need to pray. Everybody was praying for me. I didn't need to read the Bible. I was getting so much Bible fed to me that I was like a baby sitting in the high chair going, and I was just eating what I got fed. I didn't have to feed myself. I didn't have to cook my own meals, so to speak. I didn't have to take responsibility for my Christianity because they created an environment that took responsibility for me. Say, how you doing? I'm doing great. Well, how's your walk with God? I go to church, you know, 3 times a week. I hear preaching 7-8 times a week. I listen to godly music. I'm doing ministries. I'm reaching people. I'm bringing them to church. I'm doing wonderful. No, you're not. You don't have your own personal relationship with God. Jehoiada can go decades helping Joash. But Joash never had his personal relationship with God. And as soon as Jehoiada was gone, Joash was gone. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Here's what God said. The problem with this church was they couldn't see their need. You know what I tell parents often? Let your kids make as many decisions as they can. Why? Well, within the realms of right, there's a lot of decisions to make. They need to learn to make this their life. If they're going to make their mistakes, they need to make their mistakes at home when they can land on their feet. They need to be smaller mistakes. They need to get good at saying, this is what I am. Dictate as little as possible. Obviously, if my kids say, I'm going to shoot my brother, I have to say, no, you'll get blood in the house. But obviously, if my kids say, I'm going to shoot my brother, no, that's not okay. You with me? But I give them as much leeway as I can to make decisions and try to guide them in the right decisions so they can learn to have their own walk with God. Do you know if someone's haircut's the right haircut? Do you know that the Bible says it's a shame for a man to wear long hair. I didn't know that. I wanted to wear long hair. That was my thing. And you know, if you've always had that, then you've never had to think about it. You've never made a decision. Girls, if the girls are all dressed modestly, according to the Bible says for women to dress in modest apparel. If you've always dressed modestly, you've never had to make a decision. It's been made for you. You didn't have a choice. You've never had to make a decision of length of dress or whether it's too tight or all the girl things that I really can't keep up on. I don't really think that way. When I get dressed, I don't go to the mirror and go, do I look okay? I don't care. And in fact, often my family's corrected me. You look like you're homeless. I'm like, well, I'm close anyway. So I really don't care. But understand is when those decisions are always made for you, very often you never learn to make them yourself. It's not your Christianity. You have to make decisions for yourself. I never forget when my oldest brother graduated. We weren't a Christian home. We weren't serving the Lord. And my dad gave him a speech, and it was, I don't want to embarrass my brother or my dad, but it wasn't anything Christian, you know. It was kind of, you know, where to get drunk if you're going to get drunk or whatever. It was a speech of, you know, you're going to be safe and you're not going to kill yourself. And then by the time I graduated, the home had really, we started serving God as a family, and there was a transition that was made throughout the five kids. And my dad said, you know, son, it's time you graduated. I want to talk to you about what the rules are now that you graduated. And one of the things he said, I want you in by, I think, midnight or 11. I said, Dad, I'll always be in by 10. And he said, well, your curfew is by, I forgot what he said. He said, it doesn't really matter, Dad. I have a curfew for myself. I'm in by 10. I just don't find that there's any good Christian things that happen after 10 when I'm hanging out with my friends. So I made my own curfew. Well, that's up to you, but our curfew is, do you understand, he didn't need to give me a curfew because I'd made my own curfew for myself. I decided for myself to rule myself. Boy, that's really weird for a parent, by the way, when the kids start policing themselves. Start saying, Dad, I want to work hard. I'm going to get up early in the morning, and I'm not going to sleep in. You're what? Who are you? What happened to my kid? You're policing yourself. Now understand this: Joash never took this Christianity as his own. If I were to come to you and I'd say, what's the church's vision? You say, well, we're trying to take the next step in our Christianity. We're trying to reach more people. Okay, let me ask you this. What is your personal vision? What does God want you doing? What does God have in store for you? A teenager said to me one time, well, I think I want to do this. I said, that's sin. I said, why is that sin? I said, because the way you said it, I want to do this. What does God want you to do? It should be said, I think this is what God wants. I think this is what God wants, and that's what I'm going to do. So it doesn't really matter what you're doing. I think this is what God wants. What is your vision? Did you just happen to have parents or grandparents that are Christian? Did you just happen to be in church because someone takes you to church? One guy, I'll never forget him, is a young guy, he's preaching. He said, my parents drugged me when I was young. I said, yes, they drugged me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you know. And they made sure I was in church. I thought, okay, that was good. But did you come to church because your parents drugged you? They drugged you to church? Or is this your decision? If all your influences disappeared, if your Jehoiada was gone, is Christianity yours? I'm ending with this. COVID-19, Corona. Whether or not you agree with any of it and whether that you like the numbers or what the government's doing, it has changed our world, the way we do things. And it has changed our personal lifestyles. As I speak to a whole room of people wearing masks, usually this would be a superhero convention, but it's changed our lifestyles. Now, trials always reveal where you're at spiritually. I'm not going to read it to you, but in Job chapter 1, you'll see that Satan came to God, and God says, if you consider my servant Job, hath thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil. He says, Job's the real deal. And Satan says, basically, you give him trials, and that'll reveal what he really is. And when he has these trials, he will curse you to your face. Trials reveal what you are. You find in his famous verse in Job chapter 23, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Trials reveal what you are. When church gets taken away, how have you been doing with your walk with God? How have you been doing reaching people for Jesus Christ? How have you been doing with... It's getting quiet in here. I'm going to be in trouble. How have you been doing how have you been doing with your prayer time? How much more time have you had to pray? And you're bored out of your brain and you got a phone on or a computer on. You got your face stuck on a video game. Look, I was a video game addict as a kid. I loved the video games. Right, so I'm not saying that they're horrible. I'm just saying, are you sucking your life away? Is that what you really are? What have these trials revealed to you? Now, Joash learned something. He didn't have his own walk with God. Joash learned that became a fatal flaw for Joash. How about you? Do you have your own walk with God? Is that something that you could say, you know, today I'm going to make a decision to strengthen that. I'm going to strengthen my own walk with God. I'm glad my parents walk with God. I'm glad my grandparents walk with God. I'm glad that I have a neighbor that brought me to church, or I'm glad I have a bus captain that brought me to church. I'm glad for all those things. But this is mine now. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to learn it for myself. I'm going to do what God says do. I'm going to have my own walk with God. Joash made a vital mistake. He let Jehoiada do all of his Christianity for him. I know you use the word Christianity as our term. Do all of his Christianity for him when Joash didn't take the time to have his own walk with God. Today, will you make that decision? We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. When you say, Lord, you know, you revealed some things to me. And I'd like you to think about that. The Holy Spirit touched your heart about something. Lord, you revealed some things to me during this trial. Lord, I'm committing to have my own walk with you. And if I have a walk with you, I'm going to commit to strengthen it. This should have made me stronger, not weaker. It should have drove me to God, not pulled me away. This trial was designed to draw you close to God. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're not going to come to the front like we normally do. In a moment, I'm going to have the piano play, and I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and pray where you're at. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment and say, Lord, I want to use this time to draw me closer to you. I want to have my own walk with God. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a quick invitation. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this invitation. Blessing specifically, we ask that you convict our hearts. And Lord, I ask you to help us to reveal to us the areas where we've just been living for ourselves, busyness, wasting time, whittling it away. And help us to be a people who, during the trials, draw closer to you. Let the trials reveal to us what we need to fix. And then, Lord, please convict us so we can fix the problems in our lives. Would you help us to commit in our hearts to have our own walk with God? We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the piano plays, will you pray? Maybe you need to make a decision today to say, I need to be closer to God. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to actually start praying specifically for people and ask God to change their hearts. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I believe in God, but when you say walk with God, I don't know what that means. And maybe you don't know for sure if you died, if you'd go to heaven. If I said, if you're standing in front of God, he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, Satan believes in Jesus. He's not going to heaven. The answer God's looking for today is, have you put your faith in what Jesus did to pay your way to heaven? Are you trusting what Jesus Christ did as your only hope for heaven? If you say, I trust what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross to pay for my sins, he promised you he'd take you to heaven. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless each person who's made a decision for you today. And Lord, I ask you to bless the people who said, I'm going to focus on making sure I have my own walk with God. And Lord, I ask you, you open our eyes and reveal to us where we're at spiritually. Many of us have just kind of laid down. And Lord, I ask you, help us not to be just Christians because we have Jehoiada. Help us to be people who walk with you because we have you. And Lord, if there's someone here today who's listening online or someone in the service and says, I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven, Lord, that'd be a shame if they let the day go by and didn't settle that. Lord, let them know that if they just trust in Jesus Christ, if they believe that Jesus Christ was all they need to pay their way to heaven, and they say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and I'm trusting you as my only payment for heaven. they mean that in their heart, Lord, that you'd promise you'd save them. Let today be the day they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Father, bless each person who's come. Father, I regret that we don't have time for have the opportunity to have the fellowship that we've had in the past. But we thank you for what you've given us. Father, put your hand on each person. Bless them in a special way. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One quick thing. In a minute, I'm going to ask Mr. White, to end us in a word of prayer. And I appreciate that so much that he's been so faithful in doing the song leading. Many people have been saying online he's been doing a wonderful, wonderful job. If you want to appreciate him more, I'll do song leading one time, and you guys will be begging for him to come back. So thrilled for everybody that came here. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know it's my privilege to be able to pastor you, and I mean that. I've missed you like you would not believe. It is very difficult for me to look at a television or a camera and be like, and you, Gary, wearing your gloves and mask and pajamas and cowboy boots. You listen to me. I want you to know I appreciate you more than you know. And this, if you have needs, try to let us know. We'll pray for you. We'll try to help you if we can. We have some folks who can't shop. We've had some people go shopping for them. I have people calling saying, does anybody have needs? Obviously we're not millionaires. I have needs. I need a new jet plane, you know, but I'm talking about just don't go without having your needs met and your church family can't help you. One of the things you do in church is you look to help people who are in need, and we'll do what we can. Don't be ashamed. One of the strengths of Skyview Baptist Church, it's a giving church. When you're such a giving church, it's hard to ask. I know when my wife had cancer and they did a special dinner fundraiser to help us pay the medical bills. That was hard for me. Man, that was hard for me. I really didn't want to show. I'm much more comfortable giving than I am receiving. But that's also part of what the church does. I also knew I was loved. So I just want you to know you're loved and you're missed. And a lot of you don't know, we have three or four people who have moved. And we have to chase them down. But a lot of stuff has been happening. We'll catch up on that. So in just a moment, I'm going to have Mr. White come up and pray. I'm going to sneak out that back door, get my glove and mask on, and stand at least 6 feet away and wave at you as you leave. And yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, I asked her to remind me, and I always forget, which is horrible, but I will forget my own funeral. So the Roach family has been making trips to help the homeless, especially this time. And there's a lot of things they can't do now. They can't go inside of the shelters and things like that. They try to get some stuff at the windows. When they need clothes, they can't go in and go through the clothes. There's a lot of restrictions now. They're having a very, very difficult time. And so if you have clothes, if you have socks, are a big deal. Socks are really a big deal. If you can get some socks, toiletries, some things like that. If you'll bring them, why don't you call the church and we'll figure out how to get them. We'll get them to them as they make trips out to the homeless. And if you'd like to help them, contact Mrs. Roach. Often they take a group of people down to homeless areas and hand things out and help the people and minister to them. And so they'll let you know the times they do that and things like that. But if you can help with that, that would be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Thank you so much, Mr. Roach. I appreciate it. There's any other announcements? Yes, Jeff. So those men with the big sticks, please remain seated till they come and escort you out. They will escort you out. You'll follow them out and then head to your car. And if you want to meet some folks, meet them off premises. A couple of folks have talked about it. On the way out, there are the offering plates. You can leave your offering in the offering plates on the way out. So we have someone standing by that, right, Doug? There's someone monitoring that. And I want you to know we love you. God bless you. I'll wave to you on the way out. Mr. White, why don't you come into some word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity for us to be able to come to this building and gather together and have church in a way that we haven't been able to have in a long time. God, I pray that we take the message home with us and that we apply it to our lives. Thank you for being with us and speaking with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.